You're listening to the Building Psychological Strength Podcast Professional Edition. My name is April Seifert, and not only am I a doctoral level psychologist, but I've been a successful entrepreneur for a number of years and have learned firsthand that building psychological strength can have a direct impact on your professional success. In this Friday edition of the podcast, I'll offer you tools, tips, tricks, and information to help you become stronger, more resilient, and more successful. Let's get to it. Joe Vitale said, "Remember that money will always match your mindset." Welcome back, friends. And I'm thrilled you're here for this episode as you're rolling into your weekend. This is actually a special Friday episode. Like usual, we're diving into a professional topic, but this week we have a guest. This week, we're tackling the topic of money, specifically around the way that we see our worth and our professional value and how we can improve our relationship with money and worth to get a better outcome. So today's guest is a woman named Michelle Arpin-Bagina, and she is the founder and gateway of MichelleAB.com. Michelle believes that we all need to examine the money stories, scripts, and lessons that affect our financial psychology so we can rethink what we know about money and have more of it. She is a technician of financial planning, investment, and wealth management, but what differentiates her from other financial advisors is that she's spent the last 2+ decades studying the unconventional, non-financial aspects of life satisfaction, financial therapy, behavioral bias, choice, and decision making. I'm very excited to have Michelle here for this episode so that we can dive into this important topic. Let's roll that interview. Michelle, I'm so excited that you're here with us today because the topic we're going to be hitting on is one that I know is important to a lot of people who listen to these Friday episodes. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be talking with you.
Okay, so we're talking about money today. I'm just going to jump right to the point. Money is hard for us. Money gets complicated and emotional and icky, for lack of a better word. Why is that?
The core of it, I think, really is from our beliefs, what we were raised to believe, which is a combination of what we heard, what we experienced, what we made those experiences mean at really early ages before we had the cognitive ability to really think for ourselves and have any type of information. We just assume what different things mean. All of that goes into our subconscious minds, and we typically operate out of the subconscious around our beliefs around money. And all of it is tied into our worthiness and our need to be loved. So it really gets complicated, as you say.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So I'm a big believer and have talked a lot on this podcast about the background supporting how exactly what you just said, right? Like, we're growing up through the world. We don't really have that rational side of our brain. Like, that hasn't fully turned on yet. Yet our mind is still learning. It's still making connections. It's still trying to make sense of the world. And so it brings all these beliefs in, and it doesn't have a filter to filter them through. It's not asking whether they are true or accurate or helpful or relevant. It just sort of accepts them. Can you run through, just so that the audience can kind of relate to this, that common set of beliefs that people sort of implicitly end up encoding about money?
Sure. There really are 4 main ones. And what's important to know is these underlying beliefs, they deeply affect our behavior. So the 4 primary ones are: money is bad, or people with money are bad. More money will fix all of my problems. My self-worth is my net worth, and money is private. And if you believe those things underlying, in addition to the things that you may have heard, so for example, if you believe money is bad, and you also heard money isn't important, then money's really not going to stick around in your life. You're not going to make the effort to have it stick around when you're earning it, when you're receiving it. Because if I have it and money's bad, I'm therefore bad. And if money, and you layer on top of something you heard, money isn't important, well, it's just not important. So I don't really need to pay attention to it. So all of that comes out in our behavior. Just to give you a couple of examples.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. And it, I mean, this happens just across the board. The audience of this podcast has likely heard me say multiple times how there's just basics of how our mind works, and forming these associations and creating these beliefs is one of just the basic functions of our mind. It's adaptive. It helps us understand the world in a really quick way, but things go awry when those beliefs aren't helpful or true, or they don't lead us in a direction that is prosperous in this case. So the impact of that, even though there are these implicit beliefs, it really can't be overstated. I would love to talk. Yeah, I would love to talk a little bit about what this means then. So like, let's say somebody has this set of beliefs and they are a business owner who is setting prices, or especially a service business owner where you're the one performing the service and you have to decide what that service is worth, how to set that price, or you're a professional and you're evaluating your own salary and what your contribution in that role is worth. Can you talk a bit about the link between those beliefs and then our likely behavior in those situations?
Yeah. So I think the first thing we have to remember is that, you know, we are all part of a journey of helping everybody else run their relay race. So what we're providing is of value to someone else when it moves them from either point A to point Z or somewhere along that journey. So if we're holding, if we're not understanding that that is really what we are in service of, that's going to hang us up to begin with. When we, for example, like I will hear business owners sometimes say when they're doing a side hustle, for example, well, I'm not really in it for the money. Which is code for me for there's something more going on there. So, well, what are you really in it for, right? That's really where you've got to go. And then you're really going to start uncovering what some of your beliefs are around that, because there's some type of association around money and being of service with people, because you brought up service providers, right? That's a lot of human interaction, right? That might be one-on-one coaching or group coaching. So when you're intimately involved with people, I notice that that can almost create a barrier to where it gets even harder to talk about money with that end recipient because of the associations that you're making, especially if you're in a helping role. Like even therapists have a very hard time charging appropriately for their services because they're in a helping profession. And as far as negotiation, I always say the first negotiation that we actually have is with ourselves. And this is going to sound a little ugly, but maybe the first negotiation needs to be, I want to be rich. Sorry, not sorry. Because there's nothing in and of itself that is wrong with having money. It's just that we start associating, you know, I want to be rich. I'm sure anybody listening to that statement associated a million things with that. That's greedy. That's unethical, right? There's a gazillion things that came to mind with that statement. That's what needs to be raised and discovered of why am I even thinking that and where did that come from? And then as the adult asking, is that really what I think? Is that really true? And what kind of impact is this having? But I think, you know, negotiation is really, I think two things. First, it is the negotiation for yourself of what do I really want? I mean, that's really what I'm trying to say with, I want to be rich, right? What do I really want? Then it has to be okay with you to want what you want. So I think there is, there's an internal and external process that goes on with everything here. The next negotiation really is understanding, I don't charge enough. I don't earn enough. I don't do enough. I'm not enough. Where's the not enoughness coming in? So that you feel as if you've earned to ask for more, whether it's from an employer or from a client. And I struggled with this a lot. And it really wasn't until I determined a couple of things. One, I just got to a point where I would sit in a room of other financial advisors and I would listen, you know, different contexts, listen to what they would have to say. And I would always be sitting there thinking, I love all of these people and I love what they're doing in the world. None of them sound alike and I don't sound anything and I don't believe everything that they're saying either. And what I started to own was the reason for that is because I had my own unique experiences. I created my own curriculum for learning, like most entrepreneurs and service providers do, is continuous learning. And when I really started thinking about that and I layered in the value that I provide, whether it's helping to move someone from one emotional state to another, or helping them through decades of planning to reach a financial goal, whatever that was, I really started to own my intellectual capital. And it just simply became not okay to give it away, period, end of sentence. And it was really that combination of owning someone has come to me because they're seeking something that they are not able to experience or have for themselves. And they're seeking help for it because I've got something that's going to help them. And that's when I really started to own the process, is when I really started to own my own ownership in that process.
I love that. So if you think about that from the perspective of really anybody listening to this, it's you are bringing your own unique skill set, expertise, experience, network, relationships, all of that training, all of that to the table. And that's worthwhile. There was this, there was this interesting quote. I'm going to have to Google it and look it up, but it was, I think it was it Picasso or maybe a painter who was saying, they can create this painting in say an hour, and people would look at it and say, well, why am I spending so much money on that hour? And they're like, you're not spending money on that hour. You're spending money on the decades of experience that it took me to get to the point where I could paint that in an hour. And absolutely. So all of us, we look at, you know, especially if we're really skilled in a particular area, we just assume because it came easy that somehow it's not valuable. Like it wasn't hard won enough, which in and of itself is a belief, right? Like it should be hard and grueling and that's when we get paid for something. And that's just not the case.
Exactly. Yeah. We have to go through a series of like asking ourselves, like having an out-of-body experience and saying, who told you that?
Yeah.
Like who, you know, just imagine like if one of my kids would say something to me, who told you that? And it's just a matter of, you know, questioning, right? It's, there's a curiosity that we have to have.
I love that. Okay. So we grow up, we get these beliefs, you know, influence our behavior. We either set our prices too low. We don't know, negotiate for a raise. We don't believe in our inherent self-worth. It leads to the situation where ultimately we are not making as much as we could be making, which means we can't either fund the lifestyle that we want to have. We can't pay our bills. We can't give our family the experiences they want to have. We can't give to organizations and philanthropies that we care about. I mean, the ripple effect from there is large. What are some tips that you have, some things that people can do to start to shift that? Because ultimately, I mean, anybody who says like, I'm not in it for the money, I'm like, great. If you were walking down the street and you saw there was no one around, like nobody around, no businesses, no houses, no people, no nothing. And there was $1,000 laying on the street. Would you just walk by it because money means nothing to you? Or would you pick it up and do something worthwhile with it? You probably would pick it up. That means it's important to all of us. So what can we do to start shifting our mindset around this, to start getting around some of those beliefs that we've all learned and behave in a way that's more effective, that gets us to a better outcome?
Awesome question. So I'm going to answer this in two parts, if that's okay.
Love it.
So the first thing is looking back and tracing the roots, not only of your own experiences, mainly with your family, it's mostly our parents that have the most influence on us, but also thinking back to the generations before them. And what I mean by that is with our own family and how we grew up is really what did we hear, or what are called money grams? What did we experience? We usually have a couple of really big events, financially speaking, that have left an impression. And then what did we make those experiences and those expressions mean? Because we're not taught to think, right? We're not taught to think about anything, but we're definitely not taught to think about our money. I have seen people shift gears so quickly just in doing what I'm suggesting, right? This is, I think a lot of our beliefs around money, you know, and I don't have the science here, but this is my guess, is even though they're subconscious, I feel like they're at the top of our subconscious mind, just at the bottom of the conscious mind. So it doesn't take a really extraordinary, deep therapeutic experience to raise some of this. It really takes some curiosity and taking some time to think about it. The next thing I would look at is, what about generationally? What are the money stories that were passed down from your parents or your grandparents? And what roles did everybody play? What role did your mom play, your father play in earning the money, spending the money, keeping the money, all of that? And the same for your grandparents and your great grandparents, as far as you can remember. And you might also add anybody else in your life who was influential. So it might have been, you know, a close family friend or a teacher or anything like that. And what did you experience? What did you learn from them? So I think that's stage one. Stage two is to talk about it. And I know we all say it's hard to talk about money. I like to say it's easy to talk about money when you know how to do it. So I think there are three steps to it. One is decide that there's something you need to talk about. That's usually something we're stuck with or something we have to get off of our chest. For me, it was something I had to get off of my chest, i.e. lots of shame around my money story. The first is decide. The second is pick your human. And the third step is panic. And I'm saying panic is once you decide that this is something you're going to do for yourself and for your family and for the world, because as you pointed out, and I completely agree with you, there is a complete ripple effect here of the unintended consequences that happen with our money are the things that we are not able to do,
right?
Not what we can do. And those are limitless. So, okay, the panic piece comes in because our body is going to betray us, right? If there is something that we are keeping as part of our shadow side that we really don't want to see the light of day, there is no way our body is not going to do its number on us, either in the head trash we're going to have to listen to or what we will physically feel in our body. So we just need to know that, okay, this is going to be a scary place to step into. I'm a very big believer in talk therapy, either with a therapist, a best friend, just talk, because you got some of the stuff you have to let out. And what I think we need to ask for from someone that we're asking to listen to us is to listen in an uninterrupted way. To, of course, we want their empathy, not their sympathy. And we want to be overstood. And what I mean by that is not only that the person understands you, but they also understand your story and how it makes sense to you. Because everybody's story makes sense to them, and everyone's decisions and their behavior also makes sense to them. An outsider looking in might think one is being irrational. That person does not feel they're being irrational, right? They have examined and decided and rationalized whatever their decisions are based on who they are in that moment, right? No one ever makes a decision thinking, you know, I'm going to make this choice and I really don't think this is going to work out, but this is the best choice. Right? We don't do that. We don't enter into marriages saying, I think I'm going to try it and see if it works out. Like, we all think this will work out. So I think we just have to be mindful of that. And then I think, you know, we need the person that we choose of course, we need to have a rapport with them, or a rapport will certainly be built in that process of talking with them. But then there's also that sparkle and chemistry. You know, you just really feel something for this person that they can be trusted in what you're going to share with them. And I think only then can they influence you, but more important, you then become the influencer of yourself. Because I'm not a believer in that saying of talking people off of the ledge. I think people are listened off the ledge. Mm. And if we can find people who would truly listen to us, free of judgment of whatever it is that we want to share with them, then that's when we make change possible for ourselves. Because people can give us advice, we're still going to tinker with that advice in our head, because yeah. We've got to make that advice fit for us. We don't take advice that we can't see doesn't fit and isn't going to work for us.
Yeah. When we hopped on right before we hit record, I love all of those tips. I love them. And you mentioned another one that I want to make sure that we get to. You know, you mentioned this notion of we've all got different facets in our lives, like different areas in our life. And you said something that really made me think about another episode that I had with another incredible guest. This notion of how we do one thing is how we do everything. I'm wondering if you can soapbox on that for a couple of minutes, because it was just brilliant. And I think it's something that people need to hear in terms of just knowing that about themselves, but also how to use it in this area to get a better outcome.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Thank you. I may not only soapbox, I may rant.
Bang on the table, man. Let's do it.
I do not believe how you do one thing is how you do another. I think that expression really goes to someone's character. I can see where someone's character would be uniform across all areas of their life, but behavior is different. So, you know, she may be a powerhouse in the office and a little less so when it comes to her money at home with her significant other. There's a disconnect there, right? She is playing a different role and she has a need, or he has a need for a different outcome. And it's maybe the peace and harmony that you want to have in your home versus the definition of success and how you're going to do that in your office. That may be what would ultimately make you act differently with your money in one realm or one role of life versus another. What I am a huge proponent of is having people look at prior successes in their life. And I don't mean a success that took a couple of weeks. I mean the really big juicy ones that were grueling and you needed that grit and resilience over time, because that's really where you discover who you are. So what I ask people to do is look at 3 financial or non-financial, doesn't matter, from any part of your life, look at those successes and through a series of journal prompts, really start to think about what your own unique X factor is. What is your secret to success? Because I guarantee it's very different than the next person, you know, sitting next to you. So I'll give you an example. If Sarah Blakely, who I read the story about her, the founder of Spanx, if she had heard the following advice, she might've shrugged her shoulders and said, oh, I'm not really sure this fits, but this is what she created for herself. So she lives close to her office, but she takes a fake commute drive for about an hour to an hour and a half every morning, because what she has found is that's where she does her best ideas. Mm. And it's led to some of her breakthrough blockbusters.
That's so awesome.
Right, isn't that great? We can get advice and we can hear nuggets and wisdoms of how someone else created a success out of their own life. And we might be able to take pieces, but in the end, what we're doing is we're cobbling together the pieces that actually fit us, that we can actually execute and do. So for example, you know, when you think about money, we often think about it as only the financial resource, but there's psychological capital. It's who we know, it's what we know, it's who we are, and it's what we have. So in one area of looking at prior successes, it's also considering things like that. Or it's considering the resilience strategies that you used. Like someone who did this with me by way of this workbook that I have, what she realized is how much she relied on self-talk, positive self-talk, to reach her goals. And self-talk is not anything new. What was new to her is she realized how much she relied on it. And that was, you know, the golden ticket that she could then use toward her financial goals, where she realized, okay, this part of the process, you know, no one becomes a financial success overnight, typically. This part of the process of growing my wealth, I know this strength of mine is to use self-talk. Or like Margaret Atwood, the great author, I heard a podcast recently where she brings in an alter ego named Peggy. Margaret does the writing. Peggy does the laundry, is what she said. So it's really, it's a form of self-discovery to figure out how you do you. And if you've been successful in other realms, you can absolutely be successful when it comes with to your money, because it's not just what you know, it's actually who you are and who you're being with your money that really counts as well.
That's so good. That is such a great way of looking about this. It almost reminds me of like, this is your love language for success, right? Like everybody has that thing that really propels them, say in this case, in their romantic relationships, that really resonates with them. In this case, you're saying, what is your unique fingerprint? What is that unique thing that really drives you in terms of, you know, persisting and continuing on and going after something big? That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. I love that love language of success. It's great.
This has been awesome. I mean, I love that we're tackling this topic that, for lack of a better word, just gets icky for people. It's complicated. And I know people are going to want to dig in a little bit more, are going to want to learn more. Where can people find out more about you and get their hands on some of the resources that you have?
The best places are my website, which is Michelle with two L's, AB.com. So MichelleAB.com. And on the homepage, any guest to the website can download my success formula guide, which will guide them through a lot of the things that we talked about today. Yeah. And my other favorite social media channels are LinkedIn and Instagram under my name, Michelle Arpin-Bagina.
Amazing. This has been so helpful. And I so appreciate you being on, sharing your wisdom and giving us these practical tips in something that is truly a facet of our lives that impacts our lifestyle. I mean, as much as, if not more than any other major factor. So thank you so much for being with us today. I so appreciate you sharing your expertise with us.
Thanks for having me. And I want to say thank you to you for raising the conversation on a really important topic.
All right, I really hope you got a lot out of that conversation with Michelle Arpin-Bagina. And before I go, I want to mention a quick note from one of our sponsors. I recently introduced you to the Blinkist app, which takes some of the best, most influential, most valuable nonfiction books and gists them down into 15 to 20 minute summaries. So in 15 to 20 minutes, you can listen to a series of blinks and understand the key concepts, insights, and take-home points from some of the most transformative books, and you can get it all for free. I wanted to thank Blinkist for sponsoring this show, and because you're a listener, you can try Blinkist for yourself for free for 7 days using the link in this episode description. And because you're a listener of the podcast, you can get 20% off your entire year of Blinkist by clicking the link below. Thank you so much for joining me for this business edition of the Building Psych Strength podcast. If you are an entrepreneur or a professional and you're interested in becoming more successful, hit the subscribe button. And until next week, be resilient, be strong, and be successful.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.